Moncrief's TV on the Radio, where James Dempsey and I dissect, reflect and pontificate about the good, the bad and the ugly in TV land.
Who are you? Where's Harold?
Excuse me. Who are you?
Ward? Joy? It's Danny. Danny Rand.
How did you get up here?
I came to see your father.
Look, but I think you're in the wrong place.
No, this is definitely the right place. Look, I know it sounds crazy, but let me just talk to your dad, okay? Then I can leave you guys alone.
I'm afraid Harold Meacham is dead.
What? When?
12 years ago.
There you go. That's a clip from Iron Fist. All 13 episodes of season one are streaming now on Netflix. James Dempsey joins us once again. This is more Marvel stuff, James.
It is more and it is bad. It is really the first kind of fully outright bad thing, I would say, that they have really made, particularly with regard to the TV show. So if people are following what's going on, because it's hard to escape, I guess, superheroes on both screen silver and small, what Netflix are doing is they're leading up to their own kind of mini Avengers with this show called The Defenders. And that is going to unite Daredevil, of whom we've had two, I would say, so-so seasons. Jessica Jones, probably the best one of the lot. Luke Cage, which is okay again. And then you've got Iron Fist. Iron Fist, arguably the least well-known of those, which really aren't that well-known to begin with, and it's essentially a superhero character created in the 1970s. He is this white guy who disappears in the Himalayas and returns some years later to discover, or having learnt anyway, that he is Iron Fist, this incredible martial artist who has learnt all the different forms you could imagine and who is able to sort of conjure up a kind of iron fist.
Okay, as you do now. Did he learn to do all this when he was in the Himalayas?
He learned like enlightenment, and from what I've seen so far, he learned enlightenment through punishment. It's all very strange.
Right, so it's a bit, so he's like him, but his parents are billionaires, is that
his
right?
His parents were billionaires. They were killed in the same plane crash in which he was assumed.
All right, so he's like a mixture of Doctor Strange and Batman.
That is hitting the nail right on the head. And that is really the problem, because at least with the other kind of three superheroes, we have something kind of interesting going on. Daredevil is blind and he's a lawyer. He fights crime by day, or he fights crime by night and fights, you know, the power by day. And Jessica Jones is this survivor of sexual assault, and she sort of is teaching you that domestic violence can linger even after kind of the relationship is over. And then you've got Luke Cage, who is, you know, this very black 70s style hero in a time when Black Lives Matter, and it's all kind of interesting and framed and shot nicely. And then you've got this white guy. And if ever there was a more tone deaf thing going on, it is what's going on with this, because I had reasonably high hopes, mostly because the guy who is sort of in charge of this is a writer named Scott Buck, who comes with very good pedigree. I mean, he was a writer on 6 Feet Under, which is still very fondly remembered. Yeah. He made Rome, Dexter, Everybody Loves Raymond, which was very popular. And, you know, they cast originally Finn Jones, or he is Iron Fist. Finn Jones, people would know from Game of Thrones. He is Sir Loras of the Tyrell family.
Tyrell, Tyrell family. Yes.
So, you know, there was a name attached to it. And pretty much it all went wrong right from that moment of casting. First of all, there was this huge fan push to actually cast an Asian American actor in the role, just because the whole point of Iron Fist is that he takes on these very, you know, Asian attributes and appropriates them for his own usage, which was kind of okay in the 1970s, but in 2017 and they argued really terribly. The producer said, used the word, Danny Rand is not Oriental, and Oriental is not actually a word you're really allowed to use anymore.
Yeah.
So it just has been going wrong ever since. Finn Jones has been on arguably the worst sort of press tour I've ever seen for a TV show. He had to leave Twitter after basically, you know, being inundated with fan outrage, which, you know, is happens, I guess, in this day and age. But it didn't help that he sort of, you know, he was asked a lot about the fact that he's this white guy playing this, not a white guy role, but ostensibly an Asian role. And he sort of said, well, look, this is not for the critics, it's for the fans. But the sad fact for Finn Jones is the fans aren't behind him either. So, right, all that aside. destroyed.
But he can't. They can't go to the Himalayas, disappear, and then he comes back Asian.
No, I know. It's right. They can't do that. It wouldn't have been canon, right, to do that. But the truth is that the canon of Iron Fist is really like racist Fu Manchu beards and dodgy accents and stuff. Yeah. They've cleaned all that up, right? So there's actually nothing stopping them changing him to an Asian character. It's not like he's Clark Kent. It's not like he's, you know, Bruce Wayne. He's not this, you know, absolutely iconic comic character that everyone knows. The other thing is then the show is actually just a little bit boring. So this is a 13 episode show of full 1 hour episodes. They do not need to be 1 hour. A blessing would be 45 minutes to begin with. And I can tell you now, if you are interested in this, and I am, like, I like comic books, I read them, I like Marvel movies, I don't like DC movies, but I like this kind of stuff. It doesn't put me off. I'm okay with this kind of, you know, nonsense. If you want, you can skip the first four episodes, and just, if you have to know what happens in them, read the summary on Wikipedia. You'll get everything you need from that. Because the first four episodes of which I've watched, I've now invested 4 hours into this, and I'm seeing a very poor return on investment. Now, everything I've read says it picks up towards the end, but the end is a 13-hour investment. And I have better things to be doing than, you know, than hoping for better. Because it's just dull. It is really, you know, it is dull. It is about a billionaire philanthropist who returns and wants to reclaim his business. I've seen that before. He goes through the most boring corporate nonsense restructuring, trying to reclaim his sort of title. I've seen stuff like that before. This is boring. Apart from that, the action is boring. It's just...
Who are the baddies like? Who is he fighting?
So, right, I mean, in the first four episodes, he's kind of fighting to reclaim his name. So he's doing just, he's not doing that much fighting. Then there's this kind of Chinese triad, I suppose, or dynasty, or not, whatever the mafia of the Chinese, I can never quite remember what the dodgy term is.
Yeah.
But anyway, they are called the Hand. And we heard in that clip earlier, the Meachums, and their father has died, and potentially there is a connection to the Hand in that. And basically, Iron Fist's job, as anointed by these Himalayan monks, is to take down the Hand. So he will, you know, he'll get to the Hand at some point, but... but it hasn't happened yet, and I'm four episodes in.
Right, but it's, and he's the Fist, and they're the Hand.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
I get see where you're going.
Yeah,
there.
And in the Himalayas, did they say go back now and find the Hand?
So
and,
they're very slowly doling out like the backstory of what happened in the Himalayas. We get a lot of the same shots of his mother being sucked out of the plane when the roof pulls off. I can assume now that there was some dodginess with the friend, you know, the Meacham father setting them up to crash in some way. That is my prediction of what was going to happen. I haven't seen it yet. Apart from that, all we've seen him do is sort of come along, and he's in the Himalayas, he's found by these monks. They have ultimately trained him, but of the training, all I've seen is him kneeling as a child, having had his head shaved, while they beat him with sticks, and he just sort of takes it. And then he goes back to New York, and he looks like he's homeless. You know, he's got no shoes on, because he's such a free spirit now that he's spent 15 years in the Himalayas. But I imagine actually wearing shoes is quite important.
Yeah.
And he sort of, people assume he's homeless, and he bumps into this woman named Colleen, who runs a dojo, where he sort of, you know, mansplains karate and kung fu to her, and somehow she finds this not charming, but enough to build a friendship on. Really, oh, it's poor stuff.
Yeah. God. Some reviews have said it maybe gets a bit better towards the end.
Yes. So the reviews have said it gets better towards the end. It certainly seems to pick up. What I've heard is it picks up from episode 5, which is the next one for me as I look forward. But I've also heard it picks up as well when Rosario Dawson enters it. So Rosario Dawson plays Claire Temple, who was this nurse who was in Daredevil and who has featured in all four of the, you know, individual shows as kind of a running, you know, plot device to sort of knit them together. So we can assume that that means that by the time the Defenders comes around, she will either, you know, unite the team or essentially die and unite the team in vengeance.
Yeah. What kind of class of an outfit does he wear?
He doesn't wear an outfit, which is really a problem. Now, in the comic books, he sort of goes around, I think, with this sort of bandana thing on his, you know, over half his face. That doesn't happen here, which is really actually an error, because what works in Daredevil is, you know, Daredevil wears this mask, which means you can sort of sub in a nice stunt performer to do some nice flips and kicks and so on. And Daredevil has these very well shot, very well planned and executed fight scenes. Iron Fist doesn't, because it really has to rely very heavily on Finn Jones. I mean, I know they can stick a wig and a beard on a stuntman, but it doesn't work quite to the same amount in this sort of, you know, relatively cheap production as opposed to a movie, how they can pull that off. So the fight scenes are dull. There's just nothing particularly exciting about them.
Oh God. I only saw the first 5 minutes of Iron Fist and was going to watch it all. Thanks for saving me 12 hours and 55 minutes, says James, says Ken and Claire. The Arrow is the exact same as Iron Fist and more successful. Another texter, Chris in Cork, says, I don't disagree with James, but as a fan of these shows, I'd like to add that Iron Fist literally had no standout scenes to talk about, which is odd. The other three shows had at least one incredible talking point or scene, says Chris.
Yeah, no, I mean, based on what I've seen so far, I would say that's probably right,
Iron Fist gets bad reviews from critics. User ratings on Netflix and IMDb are top notch. When did it always become wrong to be white? Iron Fist was always white. Always. Never, ever, ever was he not white.
No, and I totally agree with that. But other parts of the comic were cleaned up to sort of to modernize it. And yeah, I suppose you can also argue that there, you know, where is the place for the white guy when the fact that the other three, one is a woman, one is a black guy and one is a blind guy, I mean, why not have a, you know, and that's totally fine. But it's just that the whole kind of comic character is built around this lore of appropriating Asian culture. And there's this long history, you know, we're going to see it in a couple of weeks when Ghost in the Shell comes out. They've taken this Asian thing and made it white. Netflix have done it again with this new thing called Death Note, which is based on a Japanese manga, and they've just set it in the US and pretty much everyone involved is white. There is this culture of whitewashing, particularly of Asian characters. They just get swept away.
Owen in Limerick says, I thought Jessica Jones was rubbish. Daredevil is good and looking forward to Iron Fist. So, well, prepare to be disappointed, Owen, if James is right. Right, a couple of bits of TV news. Now, this is something we actually did mention during the week. Lindsay Lohan has a new TV prank show.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to put that in inverted commas, pretty much every part of that sentence except for Lindsay Lohan. So I suppose the intriguing thing about Lindsay Lohan is she really was, you know, this big child star, and then her fame has completely and utterly evaporated through various personal issues she's had, and then just really not being able to kind of make a movie anymore. And instead, she released yesterday or the day before this clip of a prank show that she's calling the Anti-Social Network. So she's describing herself as the queen of, you know, the queen of social media, and in this prank show, essentially, she kind of does a punked thing where she takes over the social media accounts of an unsuspecting person who clearly is suspecting because they have involved themselves in this project. Though I think they're not supposed to know that it's Lindsay Lohan setting them tasks. If they complete the three tasks, they win an unspecified amount of money or prizes. That was unclear. What was clear was that the trailer was completely and utterly staged. Yeah. And definitely it was, you know, not off the cuff stuff. What also is unclear is where on earth this show is going to be, because all my Googling could find zero network or TV channel attached to it. So that's not to say that this isn't some web-based thing, because, you know, it is 2017, that works as well. But I suppose the people involved in the trailer were British, and Lindsay has kind of established herself as an occasional TV star in the UK.
I think she lives in London, though.
I think she does live in London as well. So I suppose this is what she's focusing on, and more power to her.
Okay, it sounds dreadful.
It does.
Really, it does sound dreadful, the poor thing. And Colin Farrell is going to get together again with the director of The Lobster for a miniseries.
Is right. So they're actually coming, first of all, they're uniting again for a movie out in Cannes next week or next month or whichever. I think it's May, actually. But whenever Cannes is, that already has sort of all the pre-hype before Cannes even comes about. But the Greek director Yorgos Lanthimos, who people would know, had also made Dogtooth, which was this kind of weird movie as well. They had this huge success with The Lobster. And Colin Farrell is a very interesting character in the sense that, you know, his career trajectory sort of looked like he was going to be this kind of action star, maybe in a kind of Bruce Willis-y type vein. But actually, over the last 10 years, he's really chosen very interesting and novel and projects that really showcase him as a comic actor. So it's kind of strange then that these two are uniting to make a show about the Iran-Contra affair, which I have to admit is something I knew absolutely nothing about.
Wow.
And then when I Googled it, I still really had knew nothing about it. Apparently, I don't know. Colin Farrell is going to play this guy named Oliver North, who
He's playing Ollie North. Because it's a brilliant story.
Okay.
But it would be like now, you know, the enmity that the United States holds Iran in.
Yes.
If the United States was secretly supplying arms to Iran, that's what the Iran-Contra thing was.
Right.
They didn't like Iran then either.
Okay.
Even more so because Iranians had just held a load of Americans hostage in the American embassy.
And it's something as well to do with Nicaragua that as well as the Contra part of it.
Yeah, it was because, it was to fund revolutionaries who were funded by the Americans. It's very complicated.
It's very complicated, clearly. But I will say I saw a picture of Oliver North in the sort of 1980s and Colin Farrell is not a bad likeness for him.
It's true. Ollie North was a handsome kind of,
It's true. It'll be on Amazon at some point. It is produced by Ben Stiller, so I don't know if that means it's going to be slightly comic. That wouldn't surprise me if it is, but clearly it is an intriguing prospect.
I know, with your man directing it, it's going to be mad.
It is going to be
like Oliver North and his talking donkey supplies arms to Iran. Right, more shows to talk about after this.
Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Here comes your first question. Which of these films was not directed by Guillermo del Toro? A. Hellboy, B. Pan's Labyrinth, or C. Iron Man? You've put Iron Man.
I was hoping for some questions about SpongeBob SquarePants to come up. This could be a very short stay.
You've got to stay in, this has got to be right.
Please.
All right, the correct answer is... Go, please. Oh, get in, well played.
There you go. Like a magic carpet ride. Okay, this has an interesting trajectory. It used to be a one-woman show.
It was. It was a one-woman show by the woman we heard there. Her name is Michaela Cole, and it was called Chewing Gum Dreams back then. And she sort of wrote it about her life as essentially an evangelical Christian growing up in the Tower Hamlets estate of London, because that is what her life was when she was about, I think, 16 or something. She went to her friend brought her to this dance, and it turned out the dance was actually run by evangelical Christians. She accepted Christ in her life and became a proselytizing Christ figure.
Okay.
And she then gave that up and went to drama school and then has since developed this, and it has been very successful. It was originally broadcast on E4 in 2015, the first season, of which there have been two already. It just sort of bypassed me, but it actually it came back into my head because I was reading a lot about it when it launched in the US last November on Netflix, where it became sort of this huge cult show in the US suddenly out of nowhere, and that's why it was sort of pushed back into my face. So I thought I'd give it a go. Now, I'm not quite as sold on it as US critics seem to have been. What I kind of would liken it to is basically Fleabag, which I was a huge fan of, meets Gimme Gimme Gimme. And I don't mean that as a criticism.
Okay.
I liked Gimme 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 when I watched it. It was funny. It was a show about this kind of crazy, kooky, sex-loving woman who's kind of a bit poor.
Yeah.
And that is what you get in Tracy. She is this 24-year-old virgin working in a corner shop, living. She's obsessed with losing her virginity. And it doesn't mock, this kind of person at all. It is very embracing of the Tower Hamlets community. And it's funny and it's fresh. It's not brilliant, but it's intriguing.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. James, thanks a million for coming into us. James Dempsey there. More from TV on the radio every Thursday on Moncrief from 3.